Welcome to Santa Clarita Weekly, where we cover all things local in Santa Clarita Valley every Saturday morning at 9 on KQRU 107.9. Join hosts Tim Haddock and Sage Rafferty as they uncover the latest news, events, sports highlights, and more, keeping you connected and engaged with what matters most in our hometown.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Santa Clarita Weekly with Tim Haddock and Sage Rafferty. I'm Sage. He's Tim. You can listen to us on the radio at KQRU 107.9 FM on Saturday mornings. And we're also on YouTube and Instagram. You can find us online at SantaClaritaStar.com. So what are we going to be talking about today? The San Gabriel Mountains National Monument has been expanded into Santa Clarita Valley. A proclamation signed by President Joe Biden earlier this month and extends the territory by more than 100,000 acres. It not only expands the preservation of historical, environmental, and cultural areas in the mountains at the edge of the Santa Clarita Valley, it adds funds to maintain and monitor those areas. It was a move widely praised from Senator Alex Padilla to Santa Clarita Valley Water Board member Kathy Armitage. The president of California's 34th PTA district responded to the removal of two books from the book fair at Mountain View Elementary School in March. Christina Mendoza said in an emailed response, "School-based book fairs have been valued partners for the PTA for many, many years. California State PTA believes that books should be accessible to students to promote diverse thinking and learning," end quote. She went on to say that each family has a right to choose what is appropriate for their individual family. She does not explain or give a reason for what happened at the book fair at Mountain View Elementary, but she did say the 34th District PTA, which covers the Santa Clarita Valley, Antelope Valley, and includes PTAs in Inyo and Mono counties, is continuing to work with volunteers and school districts on training and protocols. And then we're going to be talking about sports. The West Ranch boys volleyball team went from the wild card round to a wild finish in the CIF Southern Section playoffs. West Ranch won the Division IV championship by sweeping Foothill League rival Valencia High in three games at College of the Canyons. West Ranch advanced to the CIF Southern California Division III regionals. And in high school baseball, Hart beat Arcadia in the semifinals of the CIF Southern Section Division II playoffs and will play Moor Park in the championship game. Hart shut out Arlington in the quarterfinals of the playoffs to advance to the semifinals. And then we're going to be talking about the Dodgers. The Dodgers started the week on a hot streak, but stumbled a bit against the Padres in San Diego. So let's get started. And just as a reminder, you're listening to KQRU 107.9 in Santa Clarita. You can listen to Santa Clarita Weekly on Saturday mornings at 9. And on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So let's start talking about the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument. So the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument was one of two wilderness areas that was expanded by President Biden. The other was the Berryessa Snow Mountain area in Northern California. The expansion of the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument guarantees that areas of historical, environmental, and cultural importance will be protected from development and industrial expansion. The monument was created in 2014 by President Barack Obama, but President Biden has continued those efforts by expanding seven national monument areas across the country in his term. So about 106,000 acres have been added to the national monument areas. It includes land that was once inhabited by Native American tribes, including the Tongva, Padawiem, and Chumash, and land that was used for traditional tribal ceremonies. It was also home to a number of endangered or threatened species of animals and plants. The California condor is one of those species. Their natural habitat is in the San Gabriel Mountains. The areas they populate will be protected in the expanded national monument. The expanded areas also include important wildlife corridors that provide safe avenues for migrating animals in the wilderness. They will they'll be able to move freely through the mountains to find shelter, food, and mating areas throughout the year. So California Senator Alex Padilla rather said in a prepared statement, protecting our public lands as national monuments is essential to combating the climate crisis, preserving cultural and sacred history, protecting biodiversity, and ensuring access to green space for millions of low-income Americans. And then Kathy Armitage of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Board said, the expansion of the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument helps protect critical wildlife habitat and passages, an important watershed that provides drinking water and natural spaces where people can go connect with nature. So the expansion is a welcome declaration that will benefit not only wildlife in the area, but the people who live near the National Monument. Now, Tim, I know you've been very passionate about this. Do you have any comments about this? What are your thoughts?
Well, the expansion of the National Monument, the San Gabriel Mountains, shows how important the environment is to President Biden. I think that's one of the key takeaways from this. The focus of the expansion is to create you know a better understanding, a better what's the right word? Just a better appreciation of the wilderness. And it's an effort that is going to protect a lot of history. It's going to protect a lot of wildlife, and it's going to protect water sources, which I think is the most important part of all this. And if all the people understand the amount of water that the San Gabriel Mountains produces for our valley and for the San Fernando Valley. And that may be the biggest preservation that's going to be happening with this expansion of the National Monument.
So the president of California's 34th PTA district had some things to say about the book fair at Mountain View Elementary School last month. Three members of the Mountain View Elementary School PTA with ties to Moms for Liberty tried to remove two books, Fighting Words by Kimberly Brubaker Bradley and The Insiders by Mark Oshiro from the book fair. And while Christina Mendoza, the president of the 34th PTA district, said the state PTA believes that books should be accessible to students to promote diverse thinking and learning, these two books were made unavailable to students at the book fair. Mendoza said California PTA supported Assembly Bill 1078, otherwise known as the Book Bans Bill, that was signed into law by Governor
Twister, isn't it?
Yeah. It was signed into law by Governor Newsom in 2023, but essentially it makes book banning illegal in California classrooms and raises the question of whether the Mountain View Elementary PTA broke the law by removing Fighting Words in The Insiders from the book fair. Tim, do you want to talk about the email? I know you received that email, and I want to give you a chance to talk about it.
Right. And Christina Mendoza brought up the Assembly Bill 1078, the book bans bill. And it protects curriculum in the classroom. So this is a bill that is still a work in progress. The Department of Education has been asked to come up with policies, to come up with guidelines for curriculum that is going to be taught in the classroom. And part of that process is to review materials to prevent outside groups from being able to harass and bully and discriminate their choices, the choices that the school makes. So it is kind of a buffer. It has this, it creates this guardrail, this wall between the parent groups and the educators who are making the decisions about what is going to be taught in schools and what materials are going to be used to teach certain subjects. The gray area, the part that is in question is, does this law cover book fairs? And can parents and can outside groups persuade the school districts to make different choices about the materials that are available at book fairs? So that language isn't quite in the bill yet, in the law yet, but it's also, the policies aren't going to be set in stone or written for about another year. The law gives the Department of Education until July 1st, 2025 to create these policies and create these guidelines for curriculum and materials that are going to be allowed in schools. So there is time to make some adjustments to put into these policies that covers book fairs, that covers the materials that are in libraries and that might be used by assembly speakers or during field trips. I mean, you know, there's a whole array of other areas where this law might apply, but it doesn't specifically refer to that yet. Yeah. So this still has some work to be done. It still has this law still is being molded, but there is at least a written piece of legislation that is out there to protect from the sort of incidents happening at book fairs where rogue PTA members can go around and remove materials without having to ask anybody first.
Yeah. So, and I'm just going to read briefly a part of the email that Christina Mendoza sent to you, Tim. She said, California State PTA strongly encourages PTAs and their administrations to work together to ensure that all students and their families are seen, heard, and represented in the PTA and what it provides to students. So that's a good quote, but given the Saugus Union School District and the administration at Mountain View Elementary have mostly been silent on what happened during the book fair, but those efforts to ensure all students and families are seen, heard, and representative are maybe falling short here.
Mm-hmm. Now that is a big concern. I'm a little surprised actually that the school district and the PTAs have not been more vocal about what happened at that book fair.
Yeah. All right. So let's switch gears and let's talk about sports, because I know you have a lot of interviews. You went to a lot of games this past week, but let's talk about the CIF boys volleyball playoffs. So the West Ranch boys volleyball team won the CIF Southern Section Division 4 championship in impressive fashion. It was the first CIF boys volleyball championship in West Ranch school history. It was the first time West Ranch beat Valencia this year, and it was the first CIF championship for coach Braden Johnson. So Valencia came into the match as the Foothill League champion. The Vikings beat West Ranch twice during the league season. Valencia entered the playoffs as one of the favorites to win the Division IV title. West Ranch had a much more difficult path. The Wildcats were a wildcard team and finished in third place in the Foothill League standings. They were the clear underdogs entering the championship match, but West Ranch outside hitter Noah Duffner said after the match, "It's hard to beat a team three times in the same season," and he was right. So West Ranch proved to be a tough opponent, even if each game in the championship match was decided by 2 points. The closest and longest game was the second one, where West Ranch won game two, 30-28, and took control of the match from there. So, Tim, I know Duffner talked about winning the Southern Section Division IV championship and beating Valencia for the title. So let's listen to that interview right now.
Ball team, West Ranch, just defeated Valencia in the CIF Southern Section Division IV championship match. Tell me about the match. Tell me about beating Valencia in a championship match and how your team played today.
You know, honestly, it was just all around amazing. You know, West Ranch and Valencia are big-time rivals in most sports, but it was amazing to see how many people came out for this rivalry in our from our valley and around our valley. And, like, it was just a super packed gym. It was super fun. I'm really proud of how my team played. I think we did amazing. I think it was a long and up-and-coming win. We worked really hard in practice. We prepared really hard for the first week leading up to it. They beat us twice in the regular season, but, you know, it's tough to beat a team three times in a row, and we took advantage of that, and we were able to capitalize and take this W home, and it really mattered.
Okay, your path through the playoffs had to start in a wild card match. Tell me about going through the playoffs, being a wild card team, and reaching this point of the playoffs.
You know, I like to think of our wild card match as a warm-up match. Most of our players are really new to varsity, and last year our players didn't even play in the playoff match because we didn't make it. So I was the only one on my team that had played in the playoff match before, and I think it was the wild card match is almost used as a warm-up match to sort of get the feel of a playoff match and sort of feel out how things are going to go. And when we realized things were going well, we just kept it rolling and we kept going, and it took us great places.
All right. Hey, Tim, any comments about that interview?
It was very surprising. Very surprising to see West Ranch play as well as they did. I actually went to that match expecting Valencia to sweep West Ranch. You know, Valencia really has had the upper hand on West Ranch all season, and I didn't expect it to be any different. But West Ranch rose to the challenge. They were not intimidated, and like Noah said, they know how to beat Valencia. They just haven't been able to do it, and they had a strategy. All the games were close. All the games were very, very close.
And, yeah.
And to see either team sweep was a little surprising. But to see West Ranch sweep Valencia the way they did, I was very impressed.
You also got the chance to talk to senior middle blocker Lucas Reuter. He talked about leaving a legacy at West Ranch by winning the first CIF Southern Section Championship in school history for the program. Let's listen to that interview.
West Ranch just defeated Valencia for the CIF Southern Section Division IV Boys Volleyball Championship. Lucas, tell me about beating Valencia, winning the CIF Southern Section Division IV Championship, and beating Valencia for the first time this season.
It feels great. I feel like we've put in a lot of work since our last meeting. We've gotten so much better since then. And, you know, they're our rivals. It feels great to just win.
Okay, tell me about winning the way you did. You swept Valencia. The second game was a very tight match, went 30-28. Tell me how close this match was, and tell me about how your team played through the tight matches in the tight games in the match.
I mean, all the sets were close. I feel like we really stepped up in crunch time. We made some key plays that helped us sneak out every single one and sweep them. It feels really great.
Right. And then tell me about winning a CIF Southern Section Championship, the first one for West Ranch in its school history.
It feels amazing. Legacy for my school, and finally I get to go out for my senior year and just win it all, pretty much.
All right. Well, that was a great interview. West Ranch, you know, beat Sage Hill in the first round of the CIF Southern California Regional Division III playoffs. Sage Hill won the Southern Section Division V championship, and West Ranch plays Mission Vista from Oceanside in the semifinals in the Southern California Regionals. All right. So let's talk about CIF baseball playoffs. The Hart baseball team rallied to beat Arcadia 7-2 in the semifinals of the CIF Southern Section Division II playoffs. Hart scored 5 runs in the 5th inning to break a 2-2 tie. Hart pitcher Ian Edwards shut down Arcadia over the final 2 innings to preserve the win. Hart shut out Arlington 3-0 in the quarterfinals of the playoffs. Pitchers Tyler Cooper and Edwards combined on a 6-hitter and struck out 10 batters. Eddie Gutierrez had a big game at the plate, going 3-for-3 and drove in a run. It was the 2nd shutout in a row in the playoffs for Hart. The Indians shut out Newport Harbor 1-0 in the 2nd round of the playoffs. In the other playoff action, Santa Clarita Christian lost to Azusa 9-1 in the quarterfinals of the Southern Section Division 8 playoffs.
Okay, so Hart won its semifinal game, then went 7-2. They're going to be playing Moore Park in the championship game. Now, Moore Park beat Ayala 7-5 in their semifinal game, and Moore Park knocked out Valencia in the 2nd round of these playoffs. So Moore Park has a little experience with the Foothill League teams, and Moore Park is going to be it's going to be a tough game for Hart. And Hart is, what's the right word to describe here? Hart has been doing this all on pitching. They had 2 shutouts in a row, and even the game against Arcadia in the semifinals, they gave up a couple runs in the first 2 innings, and then the pitching just shut down Arcadia for the rest of the game. So their pitchers have been carrying Hart this far in the playoffs. So we'll see if they can they can continue that against Moore Park. And just a couple other notes from the championship game. This will be the first time since 2015, that Hart has played in a championship CIAF Southern Section championship game. That year, they beat Saugus 3-2 in the Division I semis and went to the championship game, but they lost. They ended up losing in the championship game that year. So Hart has a little bit of history here. Hart has a little bit of unfinished business, as they say, in these playoffs. But we'll see. We'll see how they will fare against Moore Park and see if they can continue to have success in the playoffs.
All right. So now that we're still on the subject of baseball, let's switch to Major League Baseball. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the Dodgers went on a 7-game winning streak and won 8 of 10 games, but they are licking their wounds after a weekend series against the Padres in San Diego. The winning streak ended on Friday against the Padres. The Dodgers lost that game 2-1 with the Padres scoring the winning run in the bottom of the 9th inning. It also ruined an otherwise impressive outing by the from Hart High graduate Tyler Glasnow. So he gave up 1 run on 1 hit, a solo home run by Luis Capusano, and left the game in the 7th inning with the Dodgers trailing 1-0. Glasnow struck out 10 batters and lowered his ERA to 2.53. And after Sunday's game, Glasnow was leading the National League in strikeouts with 73 and was tied for 2nd in the National League in wins with 6. The Padres shut out the Dodgers 4-0 in Sunday's game. It was Walker Buehler's 2nd start of the season. And while he didn't pitch poorly, he has not looked like the all-star that he was 2 years ago. But the Dodgers are 27-15 after 42 games and have a comfortable 5.5 game lead over the Padres in the National League West standings. They're headed to San Francisco for a series against the real rivals, the Giants, before coming home for a weekend series against the Cincinnati Reds at Dodger Stadium. So, Tim, it looks like the Dodgers are actually doing pretty well, but how do you think the Dodgers have really been playing this past week?
Well, there were 2 things to take away from the Dodgers last week. The first one is Tyler Glasnow. Now, Tyler Glasnow has emerged as the ace of this staff. He's leading the league in strikeouts. He's among the league leaders in wins. And he has been the big safety net for the Dodgers this year. Whatever they need, a big game. They need a big, long pitching performance. Tyler Glasnow is the guy that provides that. Now, the downside of what's happening is that Walker Buehler, who was an all-star 2 years ago, is being put back into the mix in the rotation. And he's coming off an injury. He didn't pitch at all last year because he was out after having surgery. And he has not looked like the pitcher he was 2 years ago, but he hasn't looked bad either. You know, he's turned into, I don't want to say an average pitcher, but he's had a couple average outings. And I guess the good thing is that the Dodgers do not need him to be an all-star. They don't need him to be the best pitcher on the staff. They have Tyler Glasnow and they have Yamamoto, who has been pitching very well lately too. So if Walker Buehler can be the third best pitcher on this staff, that'll be plenty good for the Dodgers. He doesn't need to be an ace anymore. He just needs to be a good number three or number four starter. So in that regard, the Dodgers are looking good. The pitching is looking great. And I just don't see a lot of weaknesses right now. And everybody knows that the Dodgers have one of the best lineups ever in the history of baseball. And if the pitching can be this good for the rest of the season, they are going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah. So, Tim, they're going to be facing the Giants here pretty soon. So how do the Giants compare to the Padres as competition for the Dodgers?
Well, the Dodgers and Giants have a long history that goes all the way back to New York. And so their rivalry is deep and it's very sensitive. You know, the Dodgers don't like losing to the Giants and the Giants don't like losing to the Dodgers. The only bad part about this rivalry right now is that the Giants are not a very good team this year. They're not a bad team, but they're just not a very good team. They're not at the level of the Dodgers. And so beating up on the Giants isn't as fun as it is when the Giants are really, really good, but it's always a good feeling if the Dodgers can beat up on the Giants at any time during the season, during baseball.
All right. So it looks like we have a exciting week ahead with the Dodgers, but that's our show. So tune in next week for more discussions about the news from Santa Clarita. You can listen to us on the radio at KQRU 107.9 FM at 9 on Saturday mornings. And you can also watch us on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, and listen to us on SantaClaritaStar.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. So leave us a comment. And be sure to subscribe to Santa Clarita Weekly Online. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Santa Clarita Weekly. You can watch the show on Santa Clarita Star's YouTube channel and Facebook page, as well as listen in on the radio at KQRU 107.9. Visit SantaClaritaStar.com for more content and tune in right here to KQRU 107.9. A new voice for Santa Clarita.